Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter number 3. Let me just say while you're turning there, I love you folks at our church. I appreciate you very much. You've been very kind to us and helpful. You've checked on me and called. And when I get here, do a lot of things. I appreciate Miss Kathy this morning. I had a little, we thought was emergency, and she helped with me. And Casey was in there, and she was just telling me what to do, and I was listening. Wasn't listening good, but I was trying to listen. But seriously, I appreciate the concern and care that you've shown. And like I said, I love y'all, and I'm going to get through this. I know the Lord is going to work it out, but this is the worst thing I've ever had in my life. I don't ever remember the pain being so great. But tonight, I'm pretty good, and I'm grateful for it. But just pray that the Lord's will be done. Ephesians chapter number 3, I'm going to give you some things to think about before I give you the title, but I'm going to read to you in verse 20 and 21. That'll be our text. Actually, it's the end of our text. We will start in verse number 14 in just a moment, but then we're going to end up with 20 and 21. Now, to him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you tonight for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together and, Lord, to study your word. We thank you, Lord, for the book of Ephesians. It's a wonderful book. It's a big book with many biblical doctrines. And, Lord, we're thankful that you allowed Paul to write this and give it to us. And, Lord, you gave it to him. And I pray now that you take it tonight and use it as I speak. Lord, help them not to listen to me, but I pray they listen to you. Allow you to speak in their hearts and lives. And, Father, we just thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, amen. Literally from verse 1 of chapter 1 in Ephesians to Ephesians 3 verse 15, Paul begins to give us some things that builds a mountain, I believe, of unassailable essential Bible doctrine. I don't care what anybody says, Bible doctrine is important. Some people said it doesn't matter what you believe. It does matter what you believe. And there's only one thing to go by, and that's the Word of God. And we've got everything we need. I'm thankful tonight that I don't believe that there's nothing in the Bible that I can't defend against anybody that they may say or do or think. But again, I'm grateful for God's blessings, and I'm grateful for the Word of God. Now, in the verses preceding our text, we find Paul has been dealing with the Jews and the Gentiles. He was trying to bring them together. And he was writing to them about how they could be brought together in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, the Jews were biased and judgmental concerning the Gentiles, and they could not conceive these two groups getting together. You know, sometimes like churches, you know, say, getting a little tiff or something, and they can't get along. Thank the Lord, ours is not that way. But the Jews were very biased and judgmental. The Gentiles, for their part, saw the Jews as legalistic religious kooks. And they could never imagine the Jews and the Gentiles coming together as one people. So what seemed to be impossible turned out to be possible. And I remind you that with God, all things are possible if we put our faith and trust in Him. What seemed impossible to the people became possible to God. I'm a little short-winded. I got this thing around me. I may have to loosen it up in a minute. Can't get my air out. But anyway, go back with me to chapter number 2, and I want to just show you some things that Paul gives us about what was going on before we get to our text. We're going to go down to verse number 11, and Paul is writing about how Jesus brought down the walls which separated the Jews and the Gentiles. In verses 11 through 13, he says this, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus you have sometimes were afar off or made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ." So he's reminding them that all of us were saved the same way by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's given us that. In verse 14, Paul writes about how Jesus died on the cross. Jesus did not die on the cross just for the Jews. He died on the cross for the Gentiles. He died on the cross for everyone. Look with me there in verse number 14. The Bible said, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." I'm thankful tonight that Paul reminds them that Jesus Christ died for all. And you know, we need to remember that we're out in the world and we run into people, we see people, remember Jesus died for them. And it's important we share the gospel with them, give them a tract, invite them to church, whatever it is we can do. But it's so important to understand every person you lay your eyes on, Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross for their sin. Must move quickly, but look at verse 16. Paul writes about how the same gospel was preached to both. Not one gospel for the Jews and one gospel for the Gentiles. There's only one gospel, and he gives the power of the gospel. In verse number 16, get to it there. Verse number 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. How? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. So Paul's reminding them that they've been both bought into one body. You know, sometimes people down here have a hard time getting along, in churches even. But you know, we get to heaven, ain't going to be none of that. We're going to be all one body. But we ought to be one body while we're here, because if we're serving the Lord, we have to give him our life, and we have to dwell among each other. We need to love one another. In fact, that's a sign of being saved, is that we love the brethren. Then we move to verse 17, and he says, through faith, both Jews and Gentiles become fellow servants. Look at verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that was nigh. So again, he reminds them of their faith in the gospel. He preached near and he preached far, but he preached to everybody the gospel. He made them the same members of the household. Look at verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And then we see in the last part, what people saw is impossible. God accomplished it through the power of God. And by the power of God, both Jews and Gentiles said, God can't, but I can. And because of that, God showed them that he could. So the message tonight is the God who can. The God who can. If he could make the Jews and the Gentiles come together in a place of believing and studying together, you would find that if he's able to do that, he's able to do anything. In our text, Paul wants the church to know that God can. I know tonight I've got a situation. Many of you probably have situations. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing too big for God. There's nothing he can't handle and nothing he won't handle if we'll give it to him. In verse 14, of our text in chapter 3, verse 14, he said, for this cause, Paul said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is praying for the church. He's praying for the church because he knows that he wants God to work in and through their lives to help them come together in one body of Christ. He prays for the church according to human thinking that should not exist. He prays for the church when needed to have a better understanding of God. You know, you can never know enough about God. You can never know enough about the Word of God. The Bible said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Read your Bible, pray, hear preaching. Some people don't feel like they need it very often, but I need as much as I can get it. I'm grateful even sometime during the week I'm able to listen preaching on the radio or perhaps maybe in my office if I'm over there, I can listen to preaching. He prays for the church. Well, I've already said that. He prays for them to be strengthened by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. In verse 16, look at that. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So Paul is not praying for them to get saved. He's praying for them to get knowledge. He's praying for them to get understanding. These people are professing, and he's telling them this is what has to be done. And again, you got to understand the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. They were not friendly toward each other at all. But yet he's telling them, listen, sorry, but there's going to be Jews in heaven. There's going to be Gentiles in heaven. We've got to learn to live together down here. In John 15:15, here's what basically he was praying. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So to be fully realized in their lives. He prays for them to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. I tell you today, I will ask the Lord often to allow me to have more love in my heart. Sometimes we don't have what we should have, but it's important that we're grounded in the Word of God, and it's manifest by our love for God and the things of God. Look at verse 17b. He said that ye may be rooted and grounded in love. He's praying this. Then he comes to the point, he prays for them to come to know how every possible dimension of an awesome love of God through Christ in verses 18 and the first part of 19 may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be fulfilled in all the fullness of God. What Paul was saying, and again, I'm telling you all this to understand what took place before he said what he did in our text tonight. But Paul gives an excellent prayer on this, and he gives the verses that I've already read, and I'm not going to read them again. But he said, you know what? I'm praying for the impossible. I'm praying for what seems to be the impossible, that it'll become possible. And you know, that's the way we ought to always pray to God in everything we do. Pray that God will show us the impossible in a possible way. I would like to take a few minutes tonight and look at verse 20 and 21. They're the ones that catch my eye the most and one that we probably are most familiar with. But I want you to understand where it's coming from, because he's just got through telling Jews and Gentiles they got to love one another. They got to worship together. There's only one cross, one way of salvation. And he's told them all that. So now he comes to the text and he said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You know what the primary purpose of the whole thing is for God to get the glory. He says in that last verse, unto him be glory. Give him glory. There's a song that says, give him glory. But I want you to know that Paul is basically saying there that he's a God that can. He can do anything he desires to do and wants to do. He can make the impossible possible, whether it's in your life or whether it's in my life. God can do that for us. The first thing I want you to notice with me tonight is God's power is exceptional. God's power is exceptional. We'll take just the first part of that verse in verse 20. He says, now unto him that is able. Let's just stop right there. The word able means to be capable, to be strong, to have the power or the ability to do what he says. The word tells us we know that he has power. The scripture said, and all power is given unto me, Jesus said, in heaven and in earth. And again, he commanded them to go. God is able to empower us. God's not only able to save us, but God's able to empower us. Acts 1:8, and ye shall receive power. And after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. What is he saying? Don't say you can't witness. Don't say you can't work for the Lord. Because he said he'll give you the power to do it. And friend, if you're saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, he will give you the power and give you the strength to do it. You say, well, I'm afraid somebody will cuss me out. Well, if they do, that's on them. But you've done what you need to do, but God's able. God's able to know his love. I don't care what anybody's done to you. I don't care how bad they've hurt you. I don't care what things might have transpired between you. I believe that God is able to give us the power to love our brethren, love the lost, and love those around about us. It's important that we understand that. Thirdly, God is able to enable us to grasp who he is and what he's done for us. I appreciate the message this morning. I think it was described very well. But here's the thing. God has done so much for us. But the question would have to be tonight, what have we done for God? And so, but listen. God can enable us. He is able to grasp who he is. He can enable us to know the love of Jesus Christ. Our God is capable. He's powerful. And he's strong. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God we serve in all that we do. God possesses, and I've already quoted my verse, all power. He possesses all power in heaven and in earth. If you're saved and indwelt by the Spirit of God, he controls you if you'll allow him to. Be not drunk with wine, where's success, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, let me give you some things. I'm going to give you some scripture with them, and I'm going to move quickly. But I want you to see our God is a God who possesses all these things. Our God, and that was carried out this morning, our God is the God of creation. Have you ever stopped and thought about how God created everything? The Bible says in Colossians 1:16, 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Well, that's a powerful verse. It tells us that he's created everything, and the only way we exist or even exist in this world is because he's the one that created us, and he's able to do it. He's the God of creation. He's the God of revelation in Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He's a God of revelation. Friend, tonight you come and you can say that you can't understand this book, but if you're dependent upon God, the Holy Spirit guiding your thoughts, you can understand this book. I'll tell you tonight, I'll be honest with you, I don't understand everything. You may have some questions that I don't have answers for, and I've been at it a long time. And God will reveal that to me when I get to heaven. But I found through the years, if I'm diligent about studying and diligent about getting, God will reveal to me the revelation of what his word says, what I need to do. Not only that, but he's the God of salvation. Wonderful tonight. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's hard for me to comprehend that Jesus Christ left the portals of glory and came to earth and died for you and I. I was watching a little bit of the Braves game today, and I'm not sure about the whole saying, but behind the batter's box, there was a sign most of the time. It kept changing out, but it says, I hope I get it right. I'll get close to it, but it says, Jesus can win, or no, it said Jesus can without a rally cap on. Now, I don't like some rally cap, and I don't like that comparison. But I thought about it. That's what I was preaching on tonight. And God can do anything he desires to do. And by the way, I was just glad to see they actually had Jesus. And I'm thankful to see that Jesus' name was on the board behind the batters today. He said, "Thy God is also the resurrection." Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Friend, he's the one. He's the one that knows who's saved, and he knows the ones who aren't saved. Our God is a God of manifestation. In Jeremiah 32:17, he said, "Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, by thy stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Friend, I'm glad tonight that I don't care what the circumstances is. I know God doesn't always answer our prayer the way we want him to answer our prayer. But I want you to know he's able, he has the power, and he has the strength, and we have to trust him and his will for whatever occurs in our life and whatever comes our way. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Many times he was moved on the behalf of people. It was mentioned this morning about he cared about them. He was not angry with them, even though he tried to help them and bless them, Adam and Eve, I'm talking about. But I want to tell you, all through the Scripture, Jesus was kind and gracious and helpful on the behalf of people. You remember Moses? We could talk about these all night. I'm not going to spend time, but Moses, he said, "Lord, I can't speak." He said, "I'll give you the words. I'll give you Aaron. He'll go with you. He'll speak for you." He helped Noah. He had to help Noah. Can you imagine building that ark? I don't know. That took a long time. And I guess just he and his sons. And that's a huge thing, the width and the everything of it. I believe he helped. He enabled Noah to do that. David, the man after God's own heart. But God had to have mercy upon him. Elijah, remember Elijah? Sat down, he was discouraged and didn't know what he was going to do. But I tell you, the Lord came on the scene and told him what to do. He went and sat by the brook, and God fed him with the ravens. They brought him food. I cannot comprehend that, and I don't know how to make us all comprehend it. I'm just telling you, our God is a mighty God. He is not, there's nothing second to none about him. He is all about it. Remember the widow said, Elijah said, "Give me this food that you have." She said, "We just have a little bit of meal, enough for a meal, and then we're going to die." He says, "Give it to me." Sounds mean, don't it? But it wasn't mean, because when she gave it, God gave her more than she had. God is able. Three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, threw them in the fire. They said, "Well, don't matter to us. We ain't going to bow to you. We're not going to bow. We may burn. But irregardless of that, our God's going to be with us. So they cast him in the fire. And though Nebuchadnezzar said, look in there. He said, I see four. It's amazing, but he recognized who he was because he said, likened to the Son of God. I'm glad tonight that our God is able. Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. He got thrown, in the den of lions. I don't like to say the lion's den because somebody said, well, there wasn't no lions in it. That's not true. I believe he used one of them for a pillow. I don't know, but I tell you, they didn't bother him. He fed 5,000 that needed it. And you know what? He cares about you. Preached the other night, casting all your care upon him, for he cares about you. The word able reminds us of God's power. Don't ever underestimate the power of God. Don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on a person you're praying for. Just remember, God is able. Nothing is beyond his ability. He can do anything he wills, anytime he wills to do it. Believe me, I have seen him answer prayer. In Luke 18:27, he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. In Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. In Psalm 115:3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Friend, God has given us a wonderful place to live and to dwell and to enjoy. And tonight, God is able to meet our needs. I tell you all this to remind you that, in case you don't know it, we serve a powerful God. He can do anything without exception. Don't ever think he can't. This should give us hope, should give us comfort, it should give us joy as we face the changing seas of our life. I guarantee you there's nobody here tonight that don't have a need. There's nobody in this building tonight, I'd be shocked. And I'm not going to ask you if you do or don't. But the fact of it is, I believe every time we come to church, these pews, I wish they was full, but they're close to full. But there's people sitting out there, and their hearts are broken, they're physically broken, and they just need somebody to love them and show that he cares. And that's exactly what God did, and God allows us to be here with him. God's power is not only exceptional. God's power is extravagant. Read with me more in verse 20. We've already read the first part, now to him that is able. The next is to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The phrase exceedingly abundant above all has the idea of going above and beyond. You know, when I was growing up, my daddy always taught me, he said, if somebody gives you a job to do, don't half do it. Don't even hold to it. Do it better than anybody else. I'm not sure I always did that, but I never had no problems where I worked. My boss always knew I was going to be busy working, not killing time. But I want you to know today that God's ability to work, manifest his power, exceeds the lengths, the widths of all our mind could ever comprehend. From as far away to as near, God's ability is above and beyond our limits. We can't understand it because we know nothing about it. But we can ask in prayer to him. God's ability to work infinitely exceeds our highest prayers. You know, tonight I don't believe our prayers are ever sufficient. I don't believe any time our prayers are sufficient. We ought to pray without ceasing. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I want you to know tonight, God hears you when you pray. He knows what your needs are. He knows how to work in your life. God's ability to work infinitely exceeds our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hopes and dreams. In short, we can't begin to imagine what God's able to do. You know, go home tonight and take the next 3 weeks, because that's how long it'll take, and you still won't get there. And just think about all the great things that God has done. Man, if you read these scriptures and you find what he's done, just what I read tonight. He brought the Jews and the Gentiles together by one Lord, one cross, because he had the ability, he had the power. Who could imagine, and this is the way it happened, God took nothing but his power to create everything which exists. God did it. God taking nothing but his power to create everything that exists. But God did it. I've read this before, I believe, but S. M. Lockridge said, "The reason God came from nowhere is because there wasn't anywhere for him to come from. And coming from nowhere, he stood on nothing. And for there was nowhere for him to stand. And standing on nothing, he reached out where there was nowhere to reach. And he caught something when there was nothing to catch. Then he hung that something on nothing, and he told it to stay there. And nobody said a word, because there wasn't anybody around to say anything. Then God himself, that is good." I tell you, that's an old black preacher. He says it a lot better than I did, and a lot more to it. But I tell you, that's a great, great truth. God did it from nothing. Who can imagine the universe shrouded in darkness, suddenly filled with light? Boy, that old song, "I Saw the Light," it'd take a great deal of meaning if he'd have been around when Jesus made the light come into the world. All darkness becomes light. Who can imagine the empty oceans if the water was to recede or dry up or whatever? And by the way, you said that ain't gonna never happen. If God wills it to happen, it'll happen. He's able. What about the continents devoid of any life, suddenly teeming with animals, birds, and fish, simply because God spoke and they came into being? But it was God that did it. Who can imagine a pile of dirt in the shape of a man coming to life just because God breathed on him? But God did. God created man. The Bible from beginning to end is filled with account after account of God's power in action. From creation to the flood. Think about the plagues in Egypt. Think about the parting of the Red Sea. Think about manna from heaven. God fed them. I remember one time I had the statistics of how many boxcars it would have took of a train to get that much manna to this place. They didn't have trains. They didn't have them, but they had God. And God sent the manna from heaven every day. There was water from the rock in Israel's conquest of Canaan. There's the protection, I've already mentioned, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. There was protection for Daniel in the lion's den. There was the meal and the barrel and oil and the cruise for the widow of Zarephath. There was the stealing storms on the Sea of Galilee. He fed the 5,000. He healed the lepers, the blind, the deaf, the mute, the lame. Christ's resurrection from the dead. These are things that God did because he had power. None of those things could we do. We don't have the power except his power that will enable us with his power to do what he desires to do. The Bible is a book which details God's infinite power over his creation. Every story told in the Bible is true, and every detail too. Our God is a God of power. Paul tells us, able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. We can't comprehend that. We can't understand it, but I believe we can with God because we know that it's true. The Bible's filled with stories of people asking for and receiving great things from God. Joshua asked the sun to stand still, and it did. Elijah asked God to raise the dead boy back to life, and he did. Jabez asked God to expand his borders, and God gave him what he asked for. Jonah asked God for salvation after being swallowed by the whale, and he got it. We find David asked for deliverance from his enemies in Psalm 3, and David got what he asked for. Hannah asked God for a son so she could give her son back to the Lord for his glory. God gave Hannah what she asked for. I'm simply saying, listen to me. There's nothing impossible with God. Don't ever get defeated. Don't ever get discouraged. Don't ever get down. Your God is able. Again, we must understand his will is not always our will. His way is not always our way. But I promise you, it will be for our good and it will be for his glory. And that's exactly what we ought to do. The church asked God to release Peter from prison, if you remember, and that God gave the church what they asked for. Hezekiah asked God to deliver Jerusalem from the Assyrian army. God gave Hezekiah what he asked for. An unnamed thief on the cross asked God to save him. And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Imagine those things. Many more cases can be mentioned, but we'll move on. Each one of the prayers is for matters which to humans are impossible, but to God they was made possible. In each case, the Lord answered the prayers of the people. In each case, God not only answered their prayers, but he exceeded their prayers. I tell you tonight, we have so much to thank God for. We have so much to praise him for. He's been so good to us. And honestly, I know I'm whimpering a little bit and carrying on. But listen, I look around and I see people tonight that are hurting worse than I am, going through difficulty more than I am. And friend, I'm just telling you tonight, God's been good to me, irregardless of what's come my way. And God will be good to you if you understand the power that exists in his life. God has promised you, if you pray, that he'll hear us and that he'll answer our prayer. Jeremiah 30:33 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. In 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Now you got to get that. It's got to be according to his will. Not, Lord, I need a new car, or I need a new house, or I need a new boat. I don't even know if the Lord's real concerned about some of those things. But it is, we're praying in God's will. He said, and if we know that he will hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desired of him. The knowledge should give us confidence to pray. Do you pray? Do you pray as much as you ought to pray? Do you pray as much as you need to pray? If we don't, and I pointed myself to you, we all need to pray more than we ever have. But we've got the proof of what God does. I said, oh, God don't work like he used to. No, God don't work like he used to. God works better than he used to because he's opened it up and the whole world has been able to hear the gospel. He wants to give us, that ought to give us the knowledge to pray. Our God is the God who possesses all power, ought to give us the knowledge to pray. Our God has promised to hear our prayers. It ought to make us want to pray. Our God has promised to answer our prayers. It ought to make us want to pray. And not just want to pray, but pray. Our God has proven his power to answer prayer in extravagant ways. Go through the Bible and see how God answered. And he did not do it. He did not do it in just a plain fashion. Most of what he did was extravagant. People saw him raise the dead. People saw him heal the blind and the sick and the lame. And those things, the people got excited about, at least for a time. Our God has proven his power to answer our prayer in an extravagant way. If you have a burden tonight, if you have a care, turn it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows your need. He knows what you need. And friend, the way to find that and get that is to go to God in sincere prayer. And be faithful and do it until you get an answer from him. He's able to do exceedingly. I always like that verse. Able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we could ask or think. You know why? Because our minds are finite. I'm not saying we're dumb, but I'm saying our minds are finite. We cannot even comprehend. But we ought to be able to comprehend what he said he did in the Word of God. Never doubt God's power to do exceedingly abundant above all things that we ask. Jesus said about his prayer in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. Number three, God's power, well, first of all, God's power is exceptional. God's power is extravagant. But God's power is extended. Look, if you would, at verse 20, the latter part of verse 20. All that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. In the context, Paul is talking about the church. He's talking about the body of Christ being united with Jesus. The power to achieve unity in Paul's prayers for us is within us. What Paul was praying for them and what he was praying for even those that would come later, he was praying for something that we already had the power. That's like having a car with a tank full of gas. And you got the ability to crank the car up and go, but for some reason you say, nah, I just don't believe it'll go. You know, that's the way we are with God when we don't pray. We come to the point in our life, we say, well, I know God does seem like a mighty God, but I've never seen him do. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen him do some things in my life. Many of you have seen him do things in your life, and we know that he's real, and we know that he's real. But you know what? We've got our gas in the tank. We got the power. The Bible said now, be drunk wine where's, don't be drunk wine where it's excess, but to be filled with the Spirit of God. You can push the Spirit down. You can quench the Spirit. But ultimately, if you're saved, the power to do what God wants you to do is inside of you, and you can do it. We're talking about God. We're talking about His power. We're talking about His ability to exceed our requests by doing for us what we could never imagine. The faith to believe God does not come from us, but it does come from within us. The power to trust God does not come from us, but it does come from within us. The Holy Spirit, look what He said, the power that worketh in us is the Spirit that worketh in us. God works around us to accomplish His will in the world and to answer our prayer. He also works within us to bring us into His work, into His world. He works in us, allowing us to become a part of the answers we seek from Him. It is faith which gets us to go to God in prayer. It's faith that believes God for the things we seek. This faith comes from the work of the Spirit with us. When it comes to believing God, allow the Spirit of God to shape your prayers. He will lead you to pray in the way that you need to pray. If you honor God, it will result in God manifesting Himself to you. People often say, "Preacher, I've never seen God." Well, you've never read the Word of God if you haven't. I know none of us have seen Him visibly or physically. But I tell you, He's on every page of this book. And we see one thing after another. He does, and He does. Friend, He's still a miracle-working God. In fact, I've been praying a while, and I'm sure many others have. Listen, we had more here this morning than we've had in a long time. I tell you, the building looked really good. And I didn't get to preach. But I was grateful to be here. I heard so good one. But, but you know what? Honestly, folks, listen to me. If we really got sincere about this thing, understanding the power that is in us, and we begin praying like we ought to be praying, I believe God could fill this building up. Now understand, you got to put feet to your prayers. You got to go. He said, go. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. You got to not only pray, but you got to use what He's told you to do. You got to be obedient to Him. You've got to tell others about Christ. I guarantee you, everybody in this building knows probably some family or some couple that don't go to church anywhere. And I'm not saying go over there tonight and just knock them down and ask them if they're saved. But I'm asking you to go over there and love on them a little bit. Let them know you want to be their friend. And then after you become the friend, invite them to come to church. And then if you can get them to come to church, maybe somebody will have the opportunity to go and lead them to Christ. But what makes us do that? It's the power that is within us. And only the power that is within us that will help us do it. Unto Him be glory by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God is glorified when His people walk in the power of the Spirit of God. God is glorified when His people serve Him in the power of the Spirit. God is glorified when His people trust His power alone in the issues of life. I don't know what things you're facing today, but I know God's bigger than your things. God's bigger than your things. And I know some folks that are going through some hard times. And I know some folks going through some difficulty. Friend, God will be glorified in His church when people trust His power alone in the issues of life. The best thing you can do with your big things is to bring them to a bigger God. Take them to His feet and leave them there. God, take it to God and trust in Him. Take care of the issues for you. You know, I'm sorry, and I hate to admit this, and this might be why some things happen to me, but sometimes I'm not real patient. And sometimes when I'm not feeling well, I'm not patient. I've had to apologize to my wife quite often these last few days, but I do want to say I wouldn't have made it without her. She has to pull me out of bed every morning, but she's getting her muscles built up. But I'm saying, the thing is, we need to bring them to God and understand. And I think I was saying, God may be allowing these things to happen in my life, maybe allowing things to happen to you. Whatever it is, God's got control. And we must trust Him in everything we do. He will, and when He does, He'll leave you amazed that He is the God who can.